So I want to say before we get started this morning that I've been in the ministry for many years now. And every once in a while, a local church will have a service like we're having today, when people's hearts are real burdened and there's a lot of sickness. Sometimes there's a lot of people out. We have a very sober spirit in here, and you can tell we have a very somber type spirit. It's not the active, charged up type of spirit that we usually have in here, not a lot of amens and all that. But listen, that's all right. Sometimes you need this type of spirit in the church. Sometimes you don't need to be shouting and having a good time and throwing books all the time. I love that. But sometimes it's appropriate just to calm down a little bit and have a more sober and type spirit in here. So don't be alarmed. This happens sometimes in a local church, and we just have trouble sometimes. We have heaviness, and we can't act like we don't. Amen? Amen. And so we've had certain things happen to certain people. And so you just be in your heart, you just be praying for these folks here today, and pray for yourselves and pray for me. But this is perfectly all right. This is what you have in a family. We're a family here, aren't we? Amen. And a family's not always up, are they? We're not always having just singing that's going to bust the rooftops, and the preaching ain't always great. Please, no comments. And there's troubles in life, so we can't always come in here and say, well, we're going to fabricate. Because you know me, I'm not going to fabricate nothing. If it's not on and everybody's not having a good time and praising the Lord, I'm not going to try to get up here and say something to make you do it. Maybe it's not time to. Maybe it's time to be still and know that I'm God. We'll just take whatever spirit God wants us to have this morning. Amen. But I just want to remind you of that, and I have a message for you I believe God would have me to preach. So take your Bible. I want you to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 9, please. Matthew chapter 9. And we'll begin reading at verse number 28 this morning. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 28. And let's stand, please, as we honor the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 28. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Now, the main part of this text I want you to notice here this morning is verse number 28, when Jesus Christ asked these two blind men this question. Believe ye that I am able to do this? All right, let's bow our head and close our eyes in prayer. Brother Brad, would you pray for the message this morning? Everybody can be seated. Yes, God, please help them. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, please. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. Amen. Now, I do want you to notice the text that we just read this morning. I want you to notice that two blind men come to our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they request that their eyesight be given unto them. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus Christ asked them, which seems like a sort of a funny question, but it's not. It's not. You would say, well, they came to him and asked him. They most certainly believed he could do it, but he's going to find out what they think. He says, do you believe I'm able? I want you to focus on that word able. Do you believe I'm able to do this? Jesus wanted to know if they really believed that he was able to perform this miracle that they were requesting him to perform. And again, the key word in this passage this morning is able. I want you to know that we serve a God that is able to do anything. And the next few services, I'm going to preach a series, probably going to be a four-part series. And the title of that series is Our God is Able. And I want to go through the Bible in three or four different messages and show you some places in there where it says that our God is able to do something that's going to pertain to us and going to help us. Now, when I say somebody is able, you know what I mean by that when I say that? I mean that they have sufficient power, they have skills, or they have resources to accomplish any objective, but with God, any objective. And that means that God's got all the power that he needs. He's got all the skill. He's got all the resources. He's got all the intellect. There is nothing that God is not able to do if he so desires. Our God is able, and I want you to understand that. Now, this morning, I'm going to start out at the very foundation. If you're going to talk about God being able to do something, then there's two things that word, that time that word shows up in your Bible that says he's able to do. And the title of my message this morning is, God is able to save, and God is able to destroy. That's a positive and a negative. There's two things you better get in your mind and in your heart about God. Our God is able to save. And our God is able to destroy. He can give you a salvation that no man can give you. And he has the ability to put you in a place where no man can put you. And we're going to look at that this morning. That'll be the message. And we'll come back tonight, Lord willing, at 5. And we'll continue in this series of Our God is Able. Number one, I want you to notice that our God is able to save. Take your Bible, if you wouldn't, turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 7. Turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 7. And verse number 25. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25. And I want you to notice what the testimony of the writers of Hebrews is about God. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25. Notice what the Bible says. Wherefore, he, God, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is able to save you. You come to God who saves you through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Notice the passage says that God is able to save. And the Bible says not only does he save, he saves to the uttermost. As I've heard it said, from the guttermost to the uttermost. It doesn't matter how low you've been or what sin you committed or where you strayed and how wicked your life was. If you come to Jesus Christ, he is able to save you. Amen. That Bible says where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. The grace of God can cover any wicked doings in this congregation here today. Do you believe that? Amen. Just like he looked at those blind men, he said, do you believe that I am able, that I have the ability, that I have the power to fix your eyes? You've got to believe that he has the ability, he has the power to fix and save your soul. Amen. And he can. God still has the power to save this morning. Any of you believe that? Amen. And listen, no one is beyond God saving them. Not you or someone else. God can save anybody he wants to and he desires to save. And you need to believe that he's able to. Listen, folks, when the counselors and the programs and the education and the punishment and the 12-step programs and incarceration and everything else has failed, God can still reach that person. He's able to save them. I know that he can. And here's a problem that we have with a message like this morning. And I'm guilty of it sometimes. And if anybody in here shouldn't be guilty of it, it should be the preacher. But sometimes I struggle with it. We'll get to a point where we just say, he's beyond hope. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for him and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for her and it ain't happening. It ain't happening. They went too far. God ain't going to save them. There's just no hope. And listen, I'm not trying to embarrass you this morning, but am I the only one that's ever got that way with somebody? Anybody else ever got that way with somebody? See, when I was preparing this message, the Lord stirred up my soul about this particular part right here. Because I have some people dear to me that I felt that way before. I've been like, well, I'm not going to stop praying for them because it's right to pray for them. And I know technically God can save them. But I don't think it's happening. They're just so far gone. They're just so hard in their conscience. I don't think he can do it. Not that he can't do it. I just don't think it's going to happen. Anybody besides me ever get there? This is a reminder that God is able to save anybody he wants to save. And if you keep praying where that wheel is broken and where people go through things where they have to turn to Christ, I've seen some people that you would look at and say, man, they're the most wicked people imaginable. If anybody's reprobate, it's them. If anybody's just cut their lifeline off to God, it's them. If there's anybody in this world that I believe is headed for hell, they're just as much there as they were already there. When they draw their last breath, that's where they'll be. It's them. And then find out later they got saved. I've seen God do it. One of the greatest examples in our Bible is our man, Paul the Apostle. He's the one that writes the letters and the epistles to the church. He's our man. He's the one that we get our doctrine from. What about the life of Paul the Apostle? Do you ever read about him? Listen, he was a murderer. He wrote letters. He sent out. He went and he chased down. It would be men and women, children. It didn't matter to him. Whoever, to make sure that they were persecuted and killed. And killed for worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And you said, man, a man that would do that, a man that was signed the death warrant of so many people, he was there watching when Stephen gets stoned and gets his brains bashed out and goes on up into heaven. A man that would go through that, he's way too hard. He's way too callous. God will never save him. But brother, when that light hit him in Acts chapter 9 on that Damascus road and blinded him, and he said, who are you, Lord? So see, something hit him so bright, he knew he was Lord. He didn't know exactly who he was, but he knew he was the Lord. He said, what will you have me to do? He said, go to a fellow, Ananias. He'll take care of you. And Paul served the Lord until the day they killed him. The greatest Christian in the Bible that you'll ever read about was a murderer. Nowadays, we might call him a serial killer. He just killed a bunch of folk. Let me tell you something this morning. Everybody look up here at me. I know it's a somber spirit in here. I know it's a very different spirit in here than we usually have. I know some of you, we've been through a lot lately. A lot of sickness, a lot of heartache, a lot of problems. People are sleepy. People don't feel good. I know that. And it's okay. We're not wrong in that. This is what you call life, okay? We can't be up every day. I'm not one of them kind, okay? But please don't let the emotion of, or the lack of emotion of the hour, negate what I'm saying. God has me here to tell you this morning, don't give up. Just like he was telling me in my heart when I was preparing this message, you don't give up on him. You don't give up on them. You keep praying. You keep praying. You keep praying. I can do something in that man's heart, or that boy's heart, or that girl's heart, or that person's heart that nobody can do. I can get in there. You can say, boy, they're past saving, they're past ever getting back right with God. They don't even give a rip about God. I mean, they're just so terrible. Listen, man. Just in my ministry, just in the people that I know, and I'm just a small country preacher. I don't know a whole lot of people, like millions and millions of people. You wouldn't believe the people I know of that were drunks and fornicators and terrible drug abusers. And was living a vile, wicked, ungodly life. And some of them I know are preaching the gospel now. Been living for the Lord for 20 and 30 years. Clean as they can be. God was able to save them. He's able to save you right here this morning. If you're nasty and you're messed up, you say, God wouldn't save me. God wouldn't love me. God wouldn't help me. He is able to save them to the uttermost. Amen. From the guttermost to the uttermost. God is able to save anybody that will come to him and trust him for salvation. Don't give up praying for him. Don't give up. Be a good witness. Don't get to the point where you say, well, it just ain't going to happen. It just ain't going to happen. I just know it ain't going to happen. It just might. We serve a gracious God. We serve a very merciful God. It's not his willing that any should perish, the Bible says, but that all should come into repentance. God's will is for all of these people we're praying for to go to heaven. I know they have a free will. And they can choose to receive or reject Christ. I know that, but we just keep praying that God will convict them so strongly that with their will, they will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And once the Holy Ghost comes and lives within them, He will change them from the inside out. We got to believe He's able. Our God is able to save. We can't give up. God is able to save the most vile, wicked, wretched man that ever lived. Any of you believe that? And by the way, He is also able to save the kindest, most loving, moral man that ever lived, because both of you need to be saved. I don't care if you ever never put a drop of whiskey to your lips. I don't care if you never smoked a joint. I don't care if you never did drugs. I don't care if you were raised up in a deacon's home or a preacher's home or a Sunday school teacher's home or whatever. I don't care if you were homeschooled. I don't care if you don't smoke, dip, and chew and date girls that do and all that kind of stuff. You'll go to hell just like that serial murderer will. You hear me? Wherever you are, you'll go straight to hell and you'll burn just like Charles Manson and that bunch is right now. You'll go to the same hell Hitler went to, sitting in a church every Sunday. Never have done one thing that the world calls wrong, but the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Everybody's in need of salvation. And just like God is able to save that old wicked, vile person, He's able to save that old do-gooder. And I have found that you old do-gooders are harder to get saved than the vile man, because you don't think you need saving. But you do. You do. And without Christ, you'll go straight to hell with the most wicked, vile man that ever lived. Amen. Everybody all right? God is able to save. I love this verse, Isaiah 59:1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. God will hear your cry. His hand's not shortened. His hand's still as long as it's ever been, reaching out. Amen. Saying, I'll pull you out of hell.
Amen.
I'll pull you out of the miry clay and set you on solid ground. I'm able to do it and I want to do it. God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for you, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God showed His love 2,000 years ago for all humanity by sending His one and only Son to die in your and my place. That's how much He wants you to be saved. And the blood of Christ is able to do it. There is no sin in this world that the blood of Christ can't cleanse. Nobody's gone too far if they will just trust in the grace and the mercy of God. Nobody. The problem isn't God's ability to save, but many times it's our inability to believe that He will. Do you understand me this morning? The problem isn't that God doesn't have the ability to save, but it's our inability to believe that He will. Don't ever, let me say this, I'll move on to my final point. Don't ever write anybody off. You and I don't have the right to do that. We're not God, and we don't know what's going on. You don't ever write anybody off. You don't ever quit praying until they're in the ground or you're in the ground. Amen. You never stop praying until they're in the ground or you're in the ground. It ain't over till it's over. You keep praying for them, because at any time you could get a phone call or a text message or whatever saying, I got saved this morning, Grandma. Or, Daddy, I was at work the other day and a man sat down and talked to me and he led me to Christ. Amen. Or a phone call that says, I know I've been out of church for many years and I got saved when I was young. I don't give a rip about God right now, but I want you to know that I went to church the other Sunday, Mama, and I rededicated my life to the Lord and I'm back in. God is able to do it. Don't you stop praying. Don't you give up. Now we got to say this. We got to say this. If we're going to be fair to the text, going to be fair to God, going to be fair to the truth, not only is God able to save, thank God, For that same God that is able to save is the same God that's able to destroy. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Matthew. Back over there close where we began, Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28. And I want you to notice what Christ says here. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28. He says, "And fear not them which kill the body." But notice this word able. He says there's something they're not able to do, but are not able to kill the soul. He said, these folks here on the earth, they can affect your body, but once you die, they have no more control over you. He said, but this is who you better be afraid of. But rather fear him, talking about Christ, talking about God, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. He's able to destroy. And he says, I can destroy your body, but I can destroy your soul. Now, this is where some Jehovah's Witness and other people get this messed up. They think that word destroy there is annihilate, or you go to hell, or you just burn up, or something like that. That's not, destroy and annihilate are two different words. You can destroy something without annihilating it, or extinguishing it, or putting it out. Matter of fact, to me, I believe doctrinally this thing is talking about like when we get saved, we're going to get a body fashioned after Christ. When you go to hell, you get a body like the devil. You go back to something like a worm or a serpent or something. That's what you go back to. He's talking about destroying your soul. Listen, your soul gets messed up and gets in. I ain't got time to go into all that. But your soul, just like I get the body of Christ and I'm fashioned after Christ, when you go to hell, you get demoted. You become more like your father, the devil. But it's not annihilation. It's not that you just go in there and you just burn up and you're gone. But he does destroy. He said, listen, if you're going to fear somebody, know this. I am able to do something to your body, and I'm able to do something to your soul. Now, the difference is between God and man is able to do something to your body. And they have done some horrendous things to Christians if you study Christian history. They burned them. They tortured them. They tore their bodies apart, killed youngins in front of their wives, in front of the mamas and all that stuff. Just horrendous, horrible things. But the thing about it is after they burned them, after they ripped them apart, after they murdered them, they couldn't do anything else to them.
Right.
Now, God is able to give you eternal salvation. But God is also able to damn you forever. And nobody else can. Nobody else can. You ought not be so much worried about what man thinks, okay? If some of you worried half as much about what God thinks about you as you do what everybody else thinks about you, you might be a pretty good Christian one day. All right? I'm trying to help you. Ultimately, you know where it's going to wind up. I'm not going to wind up in front of some circuit judge around here. I'm not even going up to the Supreme Court. I'm going way, way higher, further north than that, man. I'm going way up yonder in the third heaven. You know where it's going to wind up for me? I'm going to wind up in front of the judge of the universe. Galaxy, universe, whatever's out there. I don't know what's out there. Above the deep, whatever's out there, man. That's where I'm winding up, and you are too. And you think I'm worried about what somebody's going to put a sentence on me down here? Say, guilty, not guilty. Go to jail. Go this. Do this. Pay this fine. Man, I got more to worry about than what somebody says down here on the earth about me. That thing's going to wind up one day when I'm standing in front of Jesus Christ, and he's going to give me some kind of eternal reward or not. You're going to wind up, if you die lost, you're going to wind up over there in Revelation chapter 20 at the great white throne. He's going to put you in the hell. I hear people say, and I know what they're talking about technically. They say, God doesn't send people to hell. You send your own self to hell. Well, I understand what you're saying, but that's really not true. What they're saying is that because you reject his son, that's why you wind up in hell. And that's absolutely true. If you will receive his son, he'll save you today. If you reject his son, you wind up in hell. But listen to me. Nobody ever walks up to the lake of fire and says, well, I blew it, man, and do a swan dive off into hell. Nobody ever looks at Jesus and says, you're right, man, I should have got saved, and then do a cannonball. Nobody's going into hell voluntarily. They're dragging you in there kicking and screaming. God puts you into hell. That same God that put you into heaven forever, if you reject His Son after what He sent His Son to do for you, that's the same God, listen, here's that word, that is able. He is the only one that has the ability to put you into hell forever. That same God that will save your soul is the same God that will destroy it. But you're not going to hear Joel Osteen and that bunch talk like that. Because you can't take up no offerings like that. You can't keep the people happy when you preach like that. You can't put numbers on the board. God help a preacher that's always negative, and God help a preacher that's always positive. You need to have a balance. A balance. You need to preach the whole counsel of God. What is the whole counsel of God when it comes to eternity? There is a heaven and there is a hell. And a preacher that won't preach on both of them is no good, and you tell him I said it. He's no good. If all I talk about is how great heaven is and don't warn you of hell, I'm a pitiful preacher. And just as much as God desires to save you and put you in heaven, the angry frown and wrath of God, that's just as much as He'll be on you if you died having rejected His Son. And He's able to put you where He wants you forever. James 4:12, this is a good verse. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? One lawgiver that is able to save and to destroy. I think that many people nowadays look at this world and they look at the sad shape this world is in. And you know what they believe? They believe, well, evil is winning. And evil is ultimately going to win. And if I didn't have the last few books of the Bible, I might believe that too. I mean, we're getting in sorry shape around here, ain't we? This world is, I believe it was Lester Roloff that said, this world is an insane asylum run by the inmates. These folks are crazy. These folks in America is crazy. Crazy. And it looks like it's just getting worse and worse. It's just like there's no end to the madness. And listen, it's just going to increase according to that book. It's just going to get worse. Until one day. Any of you ever hear that old gospel song that came out years ago? It said, I read the back of the book and we win. Amen. You see, if you just look at it like this, you're just going along there. You say, man, God, this thing's out of control. I don't know what God's doing. God knows exactly what He's doing. He's a merciful, loving God. He's given people more opportunity and more chance than any of us deserve. But one day He's going to look down there and He's going to say, enough. Enough. Today is the day of the Lord. Or for us, today is the day of Christ. And He's coming back. Like that little boy said one time, he said, He's coming back and boy, is He mad. Amen. He's going to come. Now, I see some of you don't like that because you heard so many of these TV preachers. I can't imagine Jesus Christ coming back mad. I ain't never heard no preacher say that. You ought to get in your book. He wasn't mad when He came the first time. He came humbly. He came the first advent to save. Now, He's coming back the second advent to kill. You need to know that about your Savior. Well, let me just tell you something. He's going to wind this thing up one day and everything's going to be resolved. All debts are going to be paid. Now, you can let Christ pay your debt, and I have, thank God, because I couldn't pay it. Amen. Or you'll pay for it in hell. But He's coming back one day. Evil will not ultimately win. When the dust settles and the smoke clears, Christ is going to be on top and the evil and the devil and all that bunch is going to be in hell burning forever. It's going to happen, just like He said it. It's just God's mercy that stopped Him from already wrapping this thing up. One day everyone will know God is still in control. And one day everyone will know that God still punishes wickedness. In conclusion this morning, as we get ready to wrap this up, only God is able. He's able to save a sinner from hell. Isaiah 43:11, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Amen. He is able to save anybody. Don't quit praying for him. Don't give up. If you're sitting here today and you're thinking, God couldn't save me, I'm too bad, I'm too rotten, feel his love and his mercy and his grace. There's nothing you've done that he won't save you from. Call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved just this morning. Right here this morning, he'll save you. But our God is also able to put any man he wants to into hell. And you can't get out. You'll only get out one time, according to the Bible. You will get out of hell. You'll get out of hell. You'll stand up there at the white throne judgment. He'll sentence you, and then he puts you in a lake of fire. Forever. And listen, one more time, just for good measure. He's able to do it. Man's not able to save your soul. Man can't touch your soul. Man's not able to damn your soul. Man's not able to. There's only one person in existence that's got any control over your eternal destiny when it comes to your soul, whether in heaven or hell. And that's Christ. Nobody else does. Nobody else is able. They don't have the power. They don't have the skill. They don't have the ability. They can't do it. So I want to leave you with this morning. Why in the world are you so concerned about what everybody else thinks about you and how everybody else looks at you? And you ain't gave it a second thought lately about what does Christ think about me? What does God say about me? What does God's Word say about me? My ultimate judge, my ultimate standing in front of a court, the ultimate verdict, it's going to come from Him. So I need to be concerned about what He says. He's able to do it. Realize that He is able and you're not. If you realize you're not able to save yourself, but that He is able to save you, you can be saved this morning. And if you realize you're not able to keep yourself out of hell and He's able to put you in there and that you're lost, that's a good start to get saved this morning. Our God is able to save and He's able to destroy. God help you to do the right thing with this message this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed.